morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Bradley High with Latham & Watkins, pro bono counsel for Ms. Sylvia Ayala. I'd like to reserve 1 minute for rebuttal. Now, this Court has jurisdiction to review an immigration judge's challenge, a challenge to immigration judge's reasonable fear determination, as seen today. Specifically, this Court has jurisdiction over final orders of removal under 8 U.S.C. 1252A1. Now, the limitation on 1252A1 is found in 1252B1, which requires a petition for review to be filed within 30 days of a final order. Under Ortiz Alfaro v. Holder, a reinstatement order is an order of removal for the purposes of 8 U.S.C. 1252A1. And in Ortiz, the Court stated that as long as an administrative proceedings are ongoing in Ortiz's case, his reinstated removal order is not final. The Court clarified that when it comes to review of the IJ's reasonable fear determination, the proceedings are complete when the IJ determines that an applicant does not have a reasonable fear of persecution. Now, up to this point, according to their briefs, the government is in agreement with everything I just said. The area of contention comes at what happens when an applicant files a motion to reopen or reconsider the IJ's negative reasonable fear determination. The answer to that question is that filing a motion to reopen or reconsider opens a separate administrative review path whose proceedings are not complete until the BIA denies or dismisses that motion. 8 U.S.C. 1252b6 states that when a petitioner seeks review of an order under this section, any review sought of the motion to reopen or reconsider shall be consolidated with a review of that order. And in Cruz versus Mukasey, the Court cited Supreme Court's holding in Stone v. INS stating the consolidation provision of 1252b6 contemplates two separate petitions for review, one from the BIA's decision ordering a petitioner removed and another from the BIA's decision denying a motion to reopen or reconsider. Now here, it's not even clear that the government disagrees that motions to reopen or reconsider are separate reviewable orders, as this Court and the Supreme Court has held. The government instead appears to make two contradictory arguments. First, citing Ortiz Alfaro, it argues that the reasonable fear proceedings are complete when the IJ affirms the immigration officer's reasonable fear determination. And thus, the motions to reopen or reconsider are also final at that point, even if they haven't been filed yet. Second, it argues that Ms. Ayala's motion to reopen and reconsider were complete when the IJ denied her motion to reopen and reconsider because the denial was not appealable to BIA. Thus, her administrative remedies were exhausted. The first argument is just an attempt to conflate the finality of the underlying reasonable fear determination with the finality of the motion to reopen or reconsider proceedings, which is in clear conflict with Stone v. INS and Ortiz Alfaro, since the motion to reconsider or reopen is clearly a separate reviewable process. The second argument fails because the IJ's denial of Ms. Ayala's motion to reconsider or reopen was appealable to the BIA. And under the Court's jurisprudence, Ms. Ayala was required to exhaust her administrative remedies before filing her petition for review. Now, the government relies on 8 CFR 1208.31, the bar on appeals from reasonable fear determinations, to conclude that the appeals for motions to reopen or reconsider are also barred. This is wrong for four reasons. First, as discussed previously, conflating the underlying decision with a motion to reconsider or reopen that decision is contrary to statutory and case law. Second, the plain text of 1208.31 does not bar motions to reopen or reconsider. The text reads, if an immigration judge concurs with the asylum officer's determination that the alien does not have a reasonable fear of persecution and torture, the case shall be returned to the service for removal of an alien. No appeal shall lie from the immigration judge's decision, that being the reasonable fear determination. The regulation does not say that an immigrant will also be denied the right to file a motion to reopen or reconsider, and which is provided for in all cases by 8 CFR 1003.23b. Specifically, under 8 CFR 1003.23b1, an immigration judge may, upon his or her own motion at any time, or upon the motion of a service of an alien, reopen or reconsider any case in which he or she has made a decision, unless jurisdiction is vested with the Board of Immigration Appeals. Furthermore, Section 1003.23b4i of the regulation contemplates proceedings involving withholding of a removal and asylum. So there's no real argument that you can't file a motion to reopen or reconsider on a reasonable fear determination. Now, 8 CFR 1003.1b3 states that appeals may be filed with the Board of Immigration Appeals from the following. It states, decisions of immigration judges in removal proceedings, as provided in 8 CFR Part 1240. Now, 8 CFR 1241A13 grants the IJ authority to order withholding of removal pursuant to Section 241B3 of the Act and pursuant to the Convention Against Torture. So the IJ has authority to hear motions to reopen and reconsider in reasonable fear determinations, and the BIA has authority to hear appeals of those motions to reopen or reconsider. Now, third, even if the regulation could theoretically be read that broadly, under INS v. St. Cyr, any ambiguities in the statute must be read in favor of the immigrant. Fourth, and perhaps more importantly, if you look at the record at 41, the DOJ itself read the regulatory text to allow appeals of motions to reopen and reconsider, and it specifically told Ms. Ayala to appeal the IJ's denial of her motion to reconsider to the BIA, and that's record at 41, Your Honors. Now, since the BIA had jurisdiction, Ms. Ayala was required to exhaust her administrative remedies before petitioning this court. In Lee v. Holder, this court stated that thus, if an order that would otherwise be final for purposes of jurisdiction depends in part or in whole on an unresolved matter, we do not review it. In Fajardo v. INS, the court stated that BIA summarily affirming the IJ's order constitutes a final agency decision under review. Thus, since Ms. Ayala's petition for review of the BIA's decision was filed within 4 days of that decision, well within the 30-day window required by 1252b1, this court has jurisdiction and should remand the case back to the BIA to determine whether the IJ abused its discretion in denying Ms. Ayala's motion. Additionally, in Lynn v. Gonzalez, this court held that it had jurisdiction to review the denial of a motion to reopen where the BIA dismissed the appeal for lack of jurisdiction. Thus, even if this court finds the BIA did not have jurisdiction, this court still has jurisdiction over the IJ's denial of Ms. Ayala's motion to reopen and reconsider, even where the BIA dismissed the appeal for lack of jurisdiction, and should remand back to the IJ to re-decide Ms. Ayala's motion to reconsider in light of the errors in the law noted in our brief. Now, if this court holds that the BIA did not have jurisdiction and that this court cannot review the IJ's underlying decision, then we run into serious due process concerns. First, the statute does not explicitly bar appeals from motions to reopen and reconsider. It merely bars appeals from the reasonable fear determination. And as stated before, in INS v. St. Cyr, the Supreme Court held that ambiguities in the statute and regulatory scheme must be construed in favor of the immigrant. Now, also, such a decision would run afoul of common notions of fair play and substantial justice because, as discussed before, the DOJ specifically told...
You know, you only have a little under 3 minutes left. We get through all of that, then we have to get to the merits, right?
Not the merits of the underlying reasonable fear determination, Your Honor. The only thing before the court today is the motion to reconsider. Or it was first whether the BIA had jurisdiction, whether they should be remanded back down to the BIA, which is the first decision. If you decide that the BIA does have jurisdiction, you don't need to decide the second issue. If you decide, however, that the BIA does not have jurisdiction, then the only decision is whether the IJ erred in its motion to reconsider or reopen standard, not whether there was actual reasonable fear, because that was not timely appealed.
But wasn't there an underlying error that because we have held, they said she had no merit to her claim because it reduced to extortion, and we've held that under certain circumstances, extortion can be persecution.
You're absolutely right, Your Honor. So if you get to the decision, if you hold that the BIA does not have jurisdiction and you end up deciding whether the IJ abuses discretion in applying the motion to reconsideration standard, then you should hold that the IJ abuses discretion. He abused his discretion because he held that extortion could never be the basis for a reasonable fear of persecution. And under this court's jurisprudence in Borja, extortion tied to a particular social group, like family status, could hold a reasonable fear of persecution under the extortion plus standard. So the IJ was required to, when Ms. Ayala came up and said that she was being extorted based on her family, to determine whether she rose to the standard of Borja and thus had reasonable fear. Since he did not do this, if the court decides that the BIA does not have jurisdiction, this court should decide that the IJ abused his discretion by not evaluating whether she rose to the standard of extortion plus.
Thank you, Counselor. You'll give me a minute or two after rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Timothy Hayes on behalf of the Attorney General. Agency regulations vest primary responsibility for the handling of reasonable fear determinations with the Department of Homeland Security. Only when an individual seeks review of a negative reasonable fear determination by an asylum officer do the regulations permit the EOIR, which is where the immigration judges are housed, to become involved, and even then only in a very limited way. The immigration judge may review the DHS officer's determination and either affirm or vacate it. If the IJ affirms it, the board has no role to play, which brings us to the heart of this petition. Consistent with these regulations, this court noted in Ortiz-Alfaro that once the immigration judge determines that an individual does not have a reasonable fear of persecution, that individual will have, quote, no further recourse under 8 CFR 1208.31 and may petition for review at that time. Ms. Ayala did not timely petition for review. The IJ affirmed the negative reasonable fear determination in her case.
Could you help me with reading this statute? Because I don't see where this, as I'm looking at your statute that you just cited.
Is it on the, you mean the regulation, Your Honor?
The regulation.
Okay, hold on one second.
8 CFR 1208.31.
Okay.
So you got down to...
G, right?
G, right. So it says it's subject to review by an immigration judge. And then if the immigration judge concurs that there's no reasonable fear, it's
You're at G1, right?
Yeah, G1. Okay. The case shall be returned to the service for removal. No mm-hmm. appeal shall lie from mm-hmm. the immigration judge's decision.
Yes,
so
Your Honor.
Take me from there, that language, to where it says that... it then says no appeal, when we're supposed to assume that's no appeal to the BIA?
Right, no administrative appeal, period, which would be the BIA.
Okay.
And you want me to extrapolate that to motions to reopen?
Take me to where it goes to a petition for review.
Oh, okay, Your Honor. Well, it goes to a petition for review from that point because under 1252 D1, the petitioner is required to exhaust his or her administrative remedies. They're exhausted at this point because of this regulation. So then the B2, 1252 B2 kicks in and says you must file a petition within 30 days from the date of that decision. The reason why
wait,
it's considered...
Wait, okay, so where's 1252 B2? Where does that say that? Okay.
Do you want me to wait, Your Honor?
No, I don't want you to wait.
Okay.
I want you to say... Where did in 1252, what's the language there?
Okay. 1252A1 says the court has jurisdiction to review a final order of removal. Okay. A reinstatement order, which reasonable fears are part of, is considered an order of removal. That was established in Morales Izquierdo and Ortiz Alfaro and a few other cases.
So you're saying that if G1 occurs, there will be a final order of removal?
Yes. And that kicks in the 30-day.
Is this where the office, I don't know what you have told her to appeal to the BIA instead of to the filing petition for review?
Well, Your Honor, the actual reasonable fear determination said no appeal shall lie from this decision. This is final. What they're referring to is they also filed a motion to reconsider with the immigration judge subsequent to that decision.
That very immigration judge?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And that immigration judge denied the motion to reconsider, and the immigration court's clerk's office attaches a certificate of service to it. And on that certificate of service, it says, this order is final unless you, within 30 days, appeal to the board. It's attached to every motion to reopen and reconsider.
Okay.
It doesn't confer jurisdiction.
Okay. So I guess what I'm saying is, if I were, I mean, just reading this, it's very confusing. And to get the statement after you filed the motion to reconsideration, which I guess you have the right to do under this, but... and then with the clerk's office saying, now you're supposed to go to the BIA. Isn't that kind of confusing? Because I could see how one would, I could see how one might reasonably think that, oh, well, they're telling me to file for with the BIA because it's a motion for reconsideration.
Well, Your Honor, the law has been plain, though. Even if it might be confusing to someone,
a layperson. Confusing to the clerk.
Well, it's a boilerplate statement. The board is a creature.
It's not an excuse that the government does something and says, well, it's boilerplate. I mean, it may not have the legal consequence, but you tell people to go appeal and say, well, it's boilerplate. We didn't really mean it.
Well, they didn't tell her to appeal. I mean, the bottom line is they didn't anticipate someone filing a motion to reconsider. These proceedings are kind of new. They've been around since 96, but for some reason, they haven't percolated up to the courts of appeals until now, and I'm not sure why that is. but the agency wasn't sort of equipped to deal with this very unique situation.
Maybe neither was the immigrant equipped to deal with that kind of unique
situation. Well, I argue in Ortiz-Alfaro, the court told the immigrant what to do.
And they also told the clerk.
Well, you're right. I can't disagree with you on that. The form has to be updated.
Yeah, the form has to be changed at a minimum. But what do we do? What do the equities tell us to do with this person who obviously, I don't know if they were pro se before because they certainly have competent, and thank you again for doing this pro bono counsel here. But it's confusing. What do we do with this person?
Well, I argue again, it's not confusing in the sense of the court in Ortiz-Alfaro, which was a year before these proceedings went down, told the immigrant what to do. I understand that from
just practically, you know. So it was an order for reconsideration. It was denied. The clerk's office said, go to the BIA. They went to the BIA. The BIA, instead of acting promptly, used the whole time to decide that they didn't have jurisdiction. By the time they decided, it was too late for him to go to to us.
Well, Your Honor,
I mean, the 30 days had passed. Don't you think that this is something that you could overlook, someone following the governmental order and doing what he was told, filing it with the BIA instead of with us, and he did that?
No, Your Honor.
So he was a little late?
I mean, I believe Ortiz-Alfaro makes plain 30 days from the immigration judge's decision. She could have filed 30 days from the denial of the motion to reconsider with the immigration judge, and everything would have been fine. She could have filed with both forms if it really was that confusing between Ortiz-Alfaro and what the boilerplate form said.
But she
didn't do that.
You don't consider this a petition for review from the order to reconsider?
No, it's only from the board, and I think my colleague sort of laid that part out correctly. What the court is reviewing, and it does have jurisdiction to review, is the board's decision saying it had no jurisdiction over the motion to reconsider. If the court does find that the board had jurisdiction, the proper recourse is to remand to the board for it to assert jurisdiction, because we don't know, the board hasn't said anything as with regard to the motion to reconsider itself, if you were to say the board had administrative appellate jurisdiction over that.
But if the board doesn't have,
then the case is over. She untimely petitioned, period, Your Honor.
You know, we had until 2014, we had cases in our circuit going all different ways over when an order becomes final and when you should file your notice of appeal, yeah. And we had to resolve that en banc.
Yep, I remember.
Because this is so confusing.
But I understand that the panel disagrees with me, but I believe Ortiz-Alfaro was pretty plain as to what to do, and I think that
I don't disagree with you. I just don't think that either the government worked it in, you know, understood it, appreciated it, and worked it into its practices, and maybe other people remain confused as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a similar issue with the reasonable fear form itself. It used to be a checkbox form where the IJ would say affirm or disaffirm, and it didn't provide the court with any reasoning. And we've been remanding tons of cases like that just in order to get more reasoning because it doesn't allow the court to perform its review function. So, I mean, there are issues that have to be worked out. And I agree with you that this boilerplate form needs to be changed, at least with respect to these kind of cases.
Can I just follow up? You said I've noticed a lot more reasonable fear determination cases recently.
Yes,
what
ma'am.
Happened? Was there a change in the law or
I
why
think,
are we seeing more of these now?
I don't think anyone has tried to get judicial review of it until recently. And when they succeeded in obtaining judicial review, that's why you're starting to see more of them. Reasonable fear takes its twin as credible fear. Like if someone comes to the border and doesn't have documents and is afraid of returning, they get a credible fear interview.
Mm-hmm.
And by statute, the court is stripped of jurisdiction for that. But by statute, the court isn't stripped with reasonable fear. So people were kind of assuming that the court had no jurisdiction, even though there was no statutory basis for that. That's why I suspect it hasn't happened until
because
recently.
Because that statute, that code, that regulation itself isn't very clear.
Well,
where you go next. Like within that regulation, yeah. If I were going to rewrite that, I would make it really clear what the avenue of review is right in that regulation.
I think no appeal shall lie from the immigration judge's decision says the board has no role to play.
It doesn't say to the board, no appeal shall lie to the board. A petition for review should be filed
Oh, I see. You're saying that they should remind, they should put it.
Be clear what you're supposed to do if you're, you know, focusing on the statute that governs reasonable fear determinations. Let's just rewrite all the laws.
Well, I'm out of time, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask you, as long as you're going to mediation in the preceding case, do you mind taking this with you?
We do, Your Honor. This case, I think it's clear that there's no jurisdiction. So this would not be a mediation case.
Well, the mediation assumes that you could,
well,
even
I mean,
if you're right, you could decide in light of all of this.
If the court were to push it, right, but please don't yell at me if it comes back. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough.
We would never yell at you. Maybe we'll give you a trip to Denver.
I'd appreciate that, actually.
This is another one who's been living here for 25 years as a citizen child.
She came in 91, Your Honor. And then she requested asylum and lost that and returned to Guatemala in 98 and then came back.
Wouldn't you?
Well, I understand. I understand. Yeah, I think most of my colleagues, we get it. It's all very violent, so.
We'll assume that you wouldn't commit suicide if you went to mediation.
That's a little drastic. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A couple of quick points, Your Honors. First, I want to say that Ortiz does not involve motion to reopen or reconsideration, and the three cases that the government cites as well, or First, Third, and Fifth Circuit cases, do not involve motions to reopen or reconsideration. In NATO, the immigrant filed a petition for review directly from the IJ's decision and did not, like Ms. Ayala, extend the administrative review process via motion to reconsider. Similarly, in Umadi Lewis, which I'm probably mispronouncing, the immigrant chose not to file a motion to reconsider or reopen and instead attempted to appeal the underlying reasonable fear. I'd like to correct one thing I believe the government misstated, is that they do not have jurisdiction, or this court does not have jurisdiction, if the BIA does not have jurisdiction. As stated in Lynn v. Gonzalez, this court held that it has jurisdiction to review the denial of a motion to reopen, even where the BIA dismissed the appeal for lack of jurisdiction. One other issue as well, as we talked about the underlying reasonable fear determination and error of law, the government criticized the motion to reconsider that was filed and the specific language that was used there. I've read the motion to reconsider. I agree it's not the best drafted brief, but in Fajardo v. INS, the government raised similar arguments. There, the government stated that Fajardo never characterized the claim as one of fraud before the IJ, nor did she move for the IJ to reconsider a decision basis on this new evidence of fraud. In response, the court said, the misrepresentations implicitly resound in fraud, and the precise language used should not prohibit the resolution of her argument. Here, Ms. Ayala argued for a positive reasonable fear determination based on extortion, which was tied to her family status. Arguing she did not use the precise language of extortion plus that was enumerated in Boria is just another gotcha similar to the just boilerplate language. Closing, Your Honor, the government sends about 3 or 4 pages of their brief talking about how this is just an expedited threshold mechanism. The reasonable fear proceedings, the whole asylum process, is just supposed to be able to get the immigrant out of the country quickly. But the problem with doing this wrong, if we make an error in this state, is that we may have sent a petitioner to their death or torture. So while it is an expedited threshold mechanism, it's one we have to do right. And that's all we're asking the court to do today, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Case just argued will be submitted. You are released now after all those cases.
Yes, okay. Thank you. And thank you and your firm, Latham Watkins, for doing this pro bono. We appreciate it.